Hi, Trinity. Good morning. Welcome. If you're watching this video, it's because either we've canceled church or because you just didn't feel safe coming out today, and that's okay. We've had a lot of winter weather this year. So this morning, I did want to take a little bit of time and simply record today's sermon and make it available for you. So I hope that wherever you are, you're warm and you're well. And I would invite you now to just take a deep breath. To do your very best to be still for a moment. Let's pray together and then we're going to get into the word today. Father, I thank you for today and I thank you that we live in a day and age where we can gather together in this way, that we can still learn about your word, even at home, online, and in a sense, we still feel together. So, God, I pray today for all of us, I pray whether we are together or at home, that your spirit would be present among us, that you would move and do your good work in us of forming Christ. I pray for those who may be feeling a little bit alone today, that you would comfort them through the presence of your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear today what it is that you are saying to us. Help us boldly and courageously to pray to you with all faith. Knowing that you will answer, that you love, and that you care for us. And so, as we turn our attention to your word now, Holy Spirit, would you help us to see Jesus and help us to know how we can live more and more in the way of Christ? In your name we pray. Amen. So, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to share my screen with you. I think that will be the easiest way. For you to be able to see everything. There we go. All right. And so we are continuing on in our sermon series this morning, Worth the Risk, Prayers That Change Us. And today's prayer is Use Me. So I wanted to start today by sharing a little story with you. When we were kids, my grandparents used to take my brother and me to visit my grandmother's cousin. Now, we called her Auntie Avis, and she was the fanciest person that I knew. Okay, Auntie Avis wore fancy hats, she wore fancy clothes, she had fancy jewelry. Auntie Avis was not married and she had no kids, so her apartment was also very fancy. She had fancy dishes of silver or crystal or china everywhere. Everything in her apartment was cream colored. It was very fancy. Now, I should also tell you that my own family, we were not fancy. We were very casual by comparison, and certainly nothing in our house was cream colored, or not for long anyway. If it started that way, it sure didn't stay that way. And my brother and I were what you might call outside children. And so here we are, transported to Auntie Avis's fancy world. Warned to be on our very best behavior. And my brother and I stood in Auntie Avis's fancy apartment, taking in all the fancy things, trying to remember to use our fanciest, if not severely limited, manners. When all of a sudden, my brother's eyes landed on a certain item. And it was this. Let me see. Here we go. Fancy Auntie Avis had a silver tea service, and she had matching silver cream and sugar set that had matching silver sugar tongs for so fancily picking up and dropping a sugar cube into your fancy teacup. And when my brother saw that, when he saw those silver sugar tongs, he forgot all of the rules and all of the lectures about being fancy, and he blurted out, "Look, silver boogie pickers!" My grandparents gasped. waiting for fancy Auntie Avis's pearl clutching response, certain that she would be offended beyond repair. But you know what? She wasn't, not at all. She laughed and she laughed because, as fancy as Auntie Avis was, she loved others well and she had a great sense of humor. And our family still laughs about that story to this day. But those silver sugar tongs had a purpose. And though they weren't used every day, they were special and they were purposeful. So, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about dangerous prayers, but prayers that are worth the risk. Prayers that, when offered sincerely to God, have this tremendous potential to radically change us. So far, we've talked about search me, break me, forgive me. And this week, we're talking about a prayer that can radically change everything. It's the prayer, use me. This is a prayer that so many of us want to pray. All of us who love and follow Jesus want to serve him well. We want to offer ourselves to him. And yet it's a scary premise. What if he asks something big or costly of us? What if the task he lays before us is simply too difficult? But you and I were created to know and enjoy the Lord. But we were also created to fulfill his design in the world. Humans are unique in all of creation because Genesis 1 tells us that we were created in God's own image. And that means that wherever we go, whatever we do, we're representing God to the rest of creation. We're displaying his redemption and his mercy. We're showing what it means to walk in his grace. When we experience God's salvation, that's not only to keep us out of hell, but we're saved with a purpose. We're called, we're invited into something. We are commissioned to spread the good news about who God is and what he does for us and how we live in response to that. You and I are invited to accomplish the Father's will. And in this way, God wants to use you. He wants others to see his goodness at work in and through you. One of the scriptures that illustrates this for us is by comparing us to vessels or basically dishware. So before we get into that, just remember all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 for a moment, where we're told that the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground. He breathed life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. And so when we also remember this famous passage from scripture from Isaiah, where God describes himself as being the potter and us being the clay that we're formed by his hand, that makes a lot of sense. And in a very real sense, God put his hands in the dirt and formed us and breathed his life into us. It illustrates that we are, in fact, designed for a purpose. And it speaks to the embodied quality that our faith has. Our body is not inconsequential. 1 Corinthians tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we know it's important to live in purity. John chapter 3 reminds us that it's the Spirit of God who brings us to life in Him, that we are in fact born of the Spirit. So take a look at verse 5. Jesus says, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Don't forget, water is commonly a metaphor that's used for the Holy Spirit and his activity in our lives. Verse 6 says, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. And if you're part of our Tuesday night Bible study, you'll know we talked about this, that born again piece can also be translated as born from above. In other words, the Spirit of God comes in and he makes us alive in a new way. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says this: "For God, who said, 'Let there be light in darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not ourselves. So, here again, before we even get into the body of the text for today, we can see this idea that we're created, that we're vessels, and that we're made to contain something more. And so, if all of this is true, if it's true that you and I are vessels who carry the treasure of Christ everywhere we go in the world, and that we're born of the Spirit, or that we're empowered by the Spirit to proclaim Jesus in word and deed, shouldn't we desire to be as usable to God as possible? And so we bravely pray, surrendering ourselves to God and saying, "Here am I, use me." So our text today is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 21, and it says this: "In a wealthy home, some vessels are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive vessels are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are used for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special vessel for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work." And so, here again, we see in this passage this idea that we've bumped into a few times already, that you and I are vessels. We are vessels in the greatest house of all, in God's spiritual temple, in his church. We are vessels of the most glorious master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are vessels for the most exciting work in the world, which is the work of the gospel. And yet, Paul's pointing out something important here. The church, he says, is like this household. We have implements that can be distinguished on the basis of value and usefulness. The valuable implements are those made of gold and silver, while ordinary ones are made of wood and clay. Now, wood and clay are not inherently bad or wrong. In fact, sometimes they're actually the thing that's used to mold or to create things that are made of gold and silver. But at the end of the day, Paul's encouragement here is that believers should desire to be these special vessels, these gold and silver vessels for special use. In fact, it might remind you even of this idea that we see in Malachi, where God is like a refining fire and he's purifying his people. He's removing the imperfections from the gold and the silver. Indeed, this is a call to holiness or set apartness for God's people. But why is that important? To stick with Paul's metaphor here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see that gold and silver vessels are kept for important occasions, while the latter ones are for mundane day-to-day tasks. Now, this doesn't mean that ordinary tasks of each day are somehow unimportant, or that we are somehow, too good for regular things. That's not me saying that only special people have a place in God's work. That's not it at all. What I am saying is that as spirit-filled believers who are born again or born from above, as those who are made alive by God's Spirit and who are living holy lives, you and I are now eligible to participate in the supernatural. God, by his Spirit, bestows gifts on his people, on the church, gifts that we use to point others towards Jesus. And that is not ordinary. That is extraordinary. And you and I, because of God's Spirit in us, can be used by God for such kingdom-oriented work. Yet, in the same way that you wouldn't, grab your finest silver punch bowl and use it as a mop bucket, these valuable vessels in the Master's house, you and I, we're called to turn away from sin and to follow Jesus. Now, do you remember my coffee mug from last week? I know it really grossed out some of you, so I think it'll make a point here, but this is the same thing as last week. This is not only about what we see or do on the outside. What we're talking about here is our inner life also being pure and holy before the Father. This is not just about the appearance of righteousness, but actually internalizing the message of Jesus so that our hearts are renewed and turned towards Him. In fact, in verse 22 of 2 Timothy 2, Paul advises young Timothy to run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. And I have good news for you because this is not a thing that you have to white knuckle your way through or just only rely on your willpower to do. This is a thing that the Holy Spirit Himself helps us to do. So let's look at a few things that make for a good vessel. The first is that the vessel must be whole. So, what do I mean by that? I mean this: sin damages us, it harms us, and it breaks pieces off of us in a sense. It hurts us in ways that we don't even always realize. But the good news is that Jesus repairs what is broken in us. Jesus makes us whole. Think about what makes a vessel useful. It doesn't have to be beautiful to be useful. God isn't just after perfect people to sit there and look beautiful and be admired. He's looking for vessels to work with, things that he can use as he builds his kingdom, vessels that will serve a purpose. A vessel that's broken or leaky isn't very useful. It's hard to fill something with water if it's running out the bottom. The good news for us is that when we are saved, we are made whole in Jesus. Jesus fills and repairs our leaks and our brokenness. He gives us a purpose and he places his spirit in us to help us accomplish the very thing that he's asked us to do. Colossians chapter 2 says this: For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete, or you also are whole through your union with Christ, who is head over every ruler and authority. Whatever may have been missing or broken, stolen or lost because of sin, is made complete, whole, when we invite Jesus into our hearts. Another way that we could talk about this is to say that we want to be sincere as we follow Jesus. We don't want to just cover over our sin, but we want to be cleansed from it. The word sincere comes from an ancient word that means no wax. And that seems kind of odd, right? That's a weird thing for us. But here's how one author explains it. He says that dishonest merchants would often take a vessel that had a small crack in it, and they'd fill the crack with wax, and they would sand it down and paint over it, and then they would sell it in the marketplace. And it might have been very nice to look at. It was probably beautiful. But of course, as you can imagine, the moment that heat touched it, the wax would melt and the vessel would begin to leak. It was not sincere. Sincere Christians do not just put on a good show for public consumption, They seek to be people of integrity, complete or whole in Christ. And so, if we want to be used of God, we need to be real. Secondly, the vessel must be clean, or as Paul says, if you keep yourselves pure, you will be a special vessel for honorable use. That's what he says. Again, remember my teacup from last week? No one wants to cook or eat or drink out of a dirty bowl. None of you wanted to borrow my cup. If we are vessels of God's living water, then he calls us to have hearts that are pure and holy, that are set apart for him. That means that we continually need his cleansing in our lives. We talked last week about the living water that Jesus promises to give us, the water that quenches our spiritual thirst and that flows continually. When that water is flowing continually, it washes away imperfections. And when we are continually quenched in the Spirit of God, the very things that we desire begin to change. We naturally begin to crave the things of God, and we naturally begin to want distance from the things of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says, because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness because we fear, or have reverence for, is another way to say that, because we have reverence for God. We read in Ephesians that we are called to imitate God, to follow him, to be like him. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives, is what 1 Thessalonians tells us. And Ephesians again says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Again, that's not because of you or me or anything that we've done or any degree of perfection that we've attained. That's because Jesus is our righteousness. That's because Jesus helps us and makes us whole. The way the vessel looks is not the important thing. Its size, its color, the material that it's made of, its purpose. The vessel, however, does need to be clean. Do you want to be used by God? Then live holy lives. Thirdly, we have to be discipled. We have to be discipled to Jesus by others. Discipleship encompasses many things. We learn some things, scripture, for example, what the Bible does and doesn't say. We learn some practices. We learn how to pray, how to study the word. We learn different spiritual practices like fasting or meditating or serving. We learn how to do different things. We learn how to minister like Jesus. But it's in the example of the disciples themselves that we find the most important quality of a disciple. We see that they spent time with Jesus, being formed by him. And he sends them out then to do what he's taught them. I like to talk about discipleship in terms of apprenticeship because I like that hands-on aspect that apprenticeship brings to our minds. Now, if you needed a carpenter, for example, you wouldn't hire a carpenter who's only read about how to build things from a book, would you? I wouldn't. You would want a carpenter who is experienced. You would want a carpenter who knows about lumber, who knows how to shape it, how to craft it. You don't want the guy who uses his shoe as a hammer and a butter knife as a screwdriver. You want the guy who's been taught how to use good tools well to create something that is beautiful and functional. Yet the most important aspect of discipleship that we is that we must spend much time with Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had seen thousands of people come to follow Jesus as they preached in the city. And the most inflammatory thing of all was that they healed a crippled man. And as the council, the religious council is, they're in an uproar and they're furious with Peter and John and the disturbance that they're creating in the city, and they're trying to figure out what to do with them. And verse 13 records the most amazing mark of a disciple of all. It says this: the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. And so for us, discipleship has to be more than just knowing the right things, or even more than just doing all of the right things. It has to be about spending time with Jesus in a way that marks us so that others see Jesus when they see us. We want to live in the way of Jesus with Jesus, ministering to people, caring for them, praying with them, walking alongside them, just like Jesus did, with hearts that are pure, loving God and loving others. And then, as Paul says here, you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. If you want to be used by God, be discipled. Friends, the point in this little passage today is that believers should desire to be special vessels, ready for any special service needed by God. Just like fancy Auntie Avis and her silver tea service and her sugar tongs, special, designed for a purpose. But there's good news. Because even if your silver sugar tongs have been misused, perhaps in the way my brother thought about, it's not the end of the story. Even when noble vessels are used for ignoble purposes, they can be washed, they can be restored, and they can be set back in order. Friends, it is my hope today that each of you will hear the call to holiness and whole life devotion to Jesus. None of us are beyond God's reach. None of us are beyond his cleansing. And none of us are without a purpose in his kingdom. Remember that this passage is being written by Paul, formerly Saul, the great persecutor of the church. There is hope and a way and redemption available for all of us as well. You are called. Will you respond? This morning, I want to close by reading from Romans 12, which I think sums all of this up for us. And I would invite you to receive this as the closing benediction this morning. It says this: and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he finds acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your word, and I thank you for those listening this morning. God, we do want to be used by you. And so, Lord, I ask that you would help us to live holy lives, that you would help us to desire discipleship, that you would help us to look for ways to be useful and beneficial and to do good work in your kingdom. God, I'm grateful today that you are the God who redeems and restores. So whatever has gone on, we look to you to make us clean and to make us whole. Thank you that you forgive us and that you give us a new purpose and a new heart. Jesus, be glorified in us, we pray. Amen. Okay, here we go. Let me stop sharing somehow. Or not, because I can't seem to figure it out right now. Anyway, doesn't matter. Okay, have a good day, and I will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.